Good morning. It's a special privilege to welcome you to this district-wide worship service. My name is David Graves, and I'm the General Superintendent and Jurisdiction of Canada for the last 2 years. And unfortunately, we've not been able to be with you in person, but we are delighted to be with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to get them and turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It speaks of freedom and victory. In verses 1 through 4, we see our freedom from judgment, where it says, "Therefore now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." In verses 5 through 17, we see our freedom from defeat, where we have victory in Jesus through the work and the control of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then in verses 18 through 25, we see our freedom from discouragement. There is no frustration because of the hope and the anticipation of our future glory. And then we come to verses 26 through 28. And these verses have been a comfort to thousands of people in times of perplexity and struggle, and I might add COVID-19. When everything seems to be going wrong, we are given the promise of help from the Holy Spirit. If you will, look with me. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. "For in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be together, even if it is by Zoom. And we pray that you would just help us today, that you, through your Holy Spirit, would speak to every person who is watching or listening. May our hearts be open to receive what you have for us today. May our minds receive the truth of your message, and may you anoint the words of this messenger. And for all that you do, Lord, we give you honor and glory and praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd encourage you to keep your Bibles open, because we're going to walk through these verses together. What an encouragement and lift it is to know that the Holy Spirit is living in us, but he is also here to help us in our weaknesses. Look at verse 26. "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express." Well, I believe that the key to understanding this verse is really to study the meaning of the key words, helps and intercedes. He is our divine assistance, for in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. This is really a very interesting word. It's found only twice in the New Testament, and it suggests to take hold with, to come along beside, to be at the side for assistance, to lay hold of any weight, to be carried on the opposite side, to help a person to shoulder it. Kind of like one man trying to carry an altar or a log is very difficult. But when two, one on each end gets it, it makes it a lot easier. This truth came home to me in a very powerful way, frightening way actually, a few years ago when I was at a health club working out. And I was doing an exercise called an incline leg press. It's where you lay on your back and you push the weights up away from you. Well, there is a safety latch on that to keep the weight from crushing you by coming down. And if it gets too low, you push on that safety latch. Well, I was doing fine and having a good workout. And I don't know, I might have been pressing 500 pounds or maybe 226 kilograms or maybe not, but I was doing a pretty good job and having a good workout when all of a sudden I got a cramp in one of my calves, and that weight went below the safety bar and it was pressing down on me, and it got to the point where I couldn't push it up, and it was coming down and pushing my knees into my chest. Fortunately for me, there were a couple men that were working out beside me, and I looked at them and I said, "Help!" And they came over, and I'd like to say it took them several minutes to pull off all of those weights. Well, it didn't take them that long, but they removed enough weights that I could slide out from underneath that weight. Well, God is telling us that the Holy Spirit comes to our aid. The Holy Spirit helps us day by day to carry our load, to offset our weaknesses, to supply divine power. And as long as we have Him assisting us, we need not fear. We will need not fear that we will be crushed by the weight of life. The first word, He helps us. But the second key word is intercedes. Look at verse 26. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The word intercedes is a double compound. It's found only here in the New Testament. It gives us a picture of one who rescues someone who's in trouble, one who pleads with great intensity on behalf of someone else. You see, the Holy Spirit, He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our needs. He knows our wants. And He prays for us. He pleads for us. Even beyond the realm of words, He does so with groans. And this intercession is always according to the will of God, according to verse 27. That's an important ministry of the Holy Spirit, to aid us in prayer. The Holy Spirit prays for us. I've pastored several different churches. One of those churches was in Marion, Ohio. And I had a wonderful congregation there, and especially one lady named Mabel McWhorter, who was a wonderful elderly lady, full of class and grace and so kind. And on Sundays, after the Sunday morning service, she would come to the door where I was greeting people, and she'd always shake my hand, and she'd say, "Pastor, Pastor, God really spoke to me today." And then she would stop, and she would tell me exactly what the Holy Spirit said to her through my message. And I was kind of dumbfounded as a young pastor to think that I could say anything that would mean anything to her. But she'd say, "Oh, God really used you to minister to my heart today." And then she would say, "And Pastor, I want you to know, I'll be praying for you every day this week. I'll pray that God will speak to you, that God will help you as you prepare the sermon, and that God would give you just the right words for us as a congregation." And then she would say, "And Pastor, I'll be praying for Sharon, and I'll be praying for your children. I'll be praying for Michael and John and Stephen and baby Rachel." And you know what? I knew she would be. Well, I moved from that church and moved to another church. But there would be Saturdays that the phone would ring at the parsonage, and I would answer the phone, and it would be Mabel McWhorter. And she'd say, "Pastor, how are you doing? What is a message that God's laid on your heart to give to your people tomorrow?" And I'd share a little bit with her, and she'd say, "Oh, Pastor, God's really going to use you. And I want you to know that I've been praying for you every day, and that I will be praying for you tomorrow as you preached." And you know what? I knew she did. Well, as several months went by, and the phone rang another Saturday, I picked the phone up and answered it, and it sounded like Mabel, but actually it was her daughter, Edith. And Edith said, "Pastor, I want you to know that Mom went home to be with Jesus yesterday. And we were just wondering if you could come back to Marion and do the funeral for her." And then she said, "You know, Mom loved you. She is so proud of you. She prayed for you all the time. She loved you like her son that she never had." And it'd be an honor if you'd come back. And I'd say, boy, you just let me know the day, I will be back. And so we made our way back to Marion, and the funeral was on a Saturday. And so Friday night we were at the funeral home greeting people and talking and visiting with people since I'd been their pastor. And everyone had left, and I was sitting on a sofa there in the funeral home. Actually, I'd be honest with you, I was kind of feeling sorry for myself. And Edith saw me sitting there. She came over and she sat down. She put her arm around me. And she said, you're taking this pretty hard, aren't you? You miss her, don't you? And I said, well, I sure do. I loved her and I appreciated her so much. And I tell you the truth, I'm going to miss her prayers. And Edith kind of just laughed, and she said, oh, Pastor. She said, Mom's still going to be praying for you. She's just going to be closer to the source now. And I can't tell you how many times down through the years that I've thought about Mabel. And I could just picture in my mind her in her soft, gentle, kind way, slipping up to the side of Jesus and say, Jesus, my boy's getting ready to preach down there today, and he really needs your help. Would you just touch him? Would you anoint him? Would you speak through him today? And I could always be assured of Mabel McCorder in her prayers. Well, don't miss this marvelous, wonderful truth that we have someone even better than Mabel McCorder. We have the Holy Spirit who is praying for us and who helps us in our very weakness to pray. So in our weakness, we have the Holy Spirit. In our vulnerability, the Spirit affirms us. Look at verse 27. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. You see, the Holy Spirit searches our hearts. Now, be honest with you, for many people, that's a very frightening, threatening phrase. They think it carries with it the idea of an investigating, probing, convicting, accusing agent. Someone who kind of functions as God's secret agent, snooping around in the attic of our minds, in the basements of our hearts, seeking what evil thoughts and motives we might find or have so that he can better convict us on judgment day. But for the child of God, for the Spirit-filled believer, this should not be a threatening thing. This should be an encouragement. It would be like having, if you were a golfer, and I enjoy golfing, it'd be like me playing golf and having a golf professional with me on every shot to tell me exactly what I did wrong or what I need to change or what I need to improve. Just think about that. The Holy Spirit searches us, not to condemn us, but to help us. Not to tell us how bad we are, but to show us how we can be even more effective in walking the Christian life. It's also kind of like a calcium test for the heart. My sister continued to bug me and say, man, you need to get the calcium test. You need to get the calcium test. And I didn't know anything about it. She said, it's a test for your heart. And since three of our four grandparents died of heart disease, you need to get this test. And what it does, it's a machine that actually can look inside the arteries of your heart to see if there's any calcium buildup. And if there's any calcium buildup, then that's what will be a precursor for maybe a stroke or heart attacks. And so she said, you need to do it. Finally, I agreed to do it. I went into this room. They had me lay down on this bed and then went into the x-ray machine, and it looked into my heart and into the arteries. And then you came back out. In a few minutes, they came out and they show you if there's any calcium buildup on the arteries of your heart. Well, I have good news. At first test, it was a zero. In other words, my heart looked good. Well, just as that machine does a search of our hearts, the Holy Spirit searches our hearts. And he's not interested in making us look bad, but in helping us to be good. He wants to help us to recover the image of God that's planted deep within our spirit, and to search us and search for that spark of divine life that he can fan into a mighty flame to help us to be free to do the will of God in our lives. He's there to show us what may have crept into our hearts that needs to be corrected or cleansed or changed. And he is there to do that. In our weakness, the Spirit helps us. He helps us. He intercedes for us. In our vulnerability, the Spirit affirms us by searching us and cleansing us. But he also tells us in Romans chapter 8, in verse 28, that in our difficulties, the Spirit works for us. Look at verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I have to be truthful with you that many people, including many Christians, kind of cut verse 28 in half. And as a result, they distort its truth. They kind of read it this way. For we know that in all things God works, period. As if to say that God causes all things. And that all events in our lives, whether they're good or evil, righteous or sinful, beneficial or harmful, are all caused by God's active will. Well, I have good news for you, my friends. God does not cause all things. Amen? He does not cause sin. He does not will that we should sin. Nor does he bring disasters in our lives just to somehow teach us some lesson or to discipline us. God does not use evil means for some good end. Rather, this verse means this. Really, it means this. That God can work through all things. That God can take all the things that do occur, regardless of their cause, regardless of their origin, regardless of whether we have brought them on ourselves or whether they have come upon us just because we live in a fallen world. That God is able to take all things, that he is able to work through all things, that he is able to work through them into a pattern for our ultimate good and for his final glory. I like what one writer said about this. He said that God is able to take the dark colors of our painful experience and mix them with the bright colors of his marvelous grace, and then paint a portrait of incredible beauty that will resound to his ultimate glory. I like that. In fact, I'd like to give it to you again. That God is able to take the dark colors of our painful experience and mix them with the bright colors of his marvelous grace, and then paint a portrait of incredible beauty that will resound to his ultimate glory. Amen. I learned this lesson when we were in our first international assignment. It was Africa. And we were there, and as we were there, we were going through some difficulties in our family, some challenges. And my wife was very burdened by those and was praying about them. And one of the ladies asked my wife, is there something that we could pray for you about? And my wife just shared, yes, you could pray for our family. We have three sons and a daughter, and they're getting married and beginning their families. If you could just pray for them. And then this African lady, her saint of God, she said this to my wife, honey, just remember that God is weaving together a beautiful tapestry for your family. Now, right now, we see it just from the backside. It doesn't look like it makes any sense at all. Just all of these different strands and different colors, and you can't tell one from the other or what it's doing. But just remember, one day, God will turn it around, and you will see the final beautiful picture that He has been creating. And my friends, as we surrender our lives to His plan, surrender our lives to His will, God promises that He will work through all things for our good and for His glory. The Amplified New Testament translates verse 28 this way: therefore, we can be confident that we are assured and that we know that God being a partner in our labor, that all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to those who love God and are called according to His design and His purpose. Amen. Well, today I just want to remind you that you and I are not alone in this journey, but that you and I have been given the precious Holy Spirit to live with us, to dwell within us, and that we have been given the Holy Spirit who is there to help us in our weakness. He is there to strengthen us and to intercede for us. Thank God. We have been given the Holy Spirit who affirms us in our vulnerability, who searches our hearts and cleanses us and purifies us and dwells within us. And we have been given the Holy Spirit who works for us in all things, even in the midst of shutdowns, lockdowns, COVID-19. He is working in our behalf for our good and for His ultimate glory. And for that today, we can all say, praise be to God. Let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful today for Your presence with us. We're thankful for this wonderful opportunity that we have to worship together, even if it is online. We know that You are with us and that You are with every person here today as they have been listening and participating in this district-wide worship service. And today, Lord Jesus, we just say thank You. Thank You for what You did for us on Calvary's cross. Thank You for dying for our sins. Thank You for forgiving us of all of our sins. Thank You for dwelling within us through the gift of Your Holy Spirit. We're so thankful that when You ascended back to heaven, You did not leave us alone, but You said that I will send another comforter, another counselor who will be with You forever. And so today we praise You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit who is with us, dwelling in us, working in us. And today we are thankful for the truth of Romans chapter 8 and these verses that remind us of all that we have in Your great gift of the Holy Spirit. And so today, Lord, we thank You and we praise You. And we pray that You would be with every person here today, those who need Your help, who need Your strength, those who may need Your touch upon their lives physically, those who need You to search their hearts. And I pray that we would be like the psalmist David who said, search me, O God, and see if there's anything in my life that's offensive, then purify me. If there's any today that need to do that, we pray that You would just help them to reach out to You right now. And then, Lord, I pray that You would renew our spirit of faith and trust to know that in all things, not that You cause all things, but through all things, You are working for our good and for Your glory. So, Lord, thank You for Your presence with us today. And we pray Your richest blessings upon every person on this call today, in this service today. And may You bless them and strengthen them through Your Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless each and every one of you. And we pray that God will continue to work in and through you, even in these days. God bless you.